Okay, what we're going to do today is look at, in God's Word, a little bit about love. And when we love somebody, we want them to be delivered, don't we? We want them to be delivered. If you really love somebody, we want the best for them in their life. So that's what we're going to do. Take a couple of these up here and look at the relationship in God's Word a little bit on love and deliverance, love and service. So Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 13. It says here, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love," what?
Serve one another.
"And by love we serve." And when we serve people, we want the best for them. We want God's best for them in their lives. And we want, you know, with a view toward or an end result, we want their deliverance, right? And for whatever, we want to see God's best. Okay, so be sure you take some notes with this, and this is a good thing. So you can write this down if you want. Things are to be loved and people are to be used.
No.
"I love you, let me use you." Is that a verse in the Bible?
No.
No, it's not. So this teaching, you know, that's the way of the world, isn't it, sometimes? Take a look. I mean, don't think too long about that, but man, it's all over the place. "I love you, let me use you." And that's garbage. That's so opposite of the love of God. So this teaching is on loving people and serving them with a view towards their deliverance. So a little overview of what we're going to cover here tonight is we're going to look a little bit at being a shepherd, a little bit about a shepherd. Then we're going to look at a few verses about being moved with compassion. And then we're going to look at a couple things about the Apostle Paul, including Paul's manner of entering in from the book of Thessalonians. Take your Bibles, everybody, and look at John 10:10. For many of us, this is where this quote-unquote journey started a long time ago. John 10:10. This is a very interesting verse. And one verse of Scripture sums up a lot of stuff, doesn't it? John chapter 10 and in verse 10. John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, I, Jesus Christ, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's the world right there. That's life right there. We have Satan who comes to kill, steal, kill and destroy, and he steals the word. He kills and he destroys. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he came so that we could have life and that we could have it more abundantly. And there it is, man. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on in the world today. But I thought we'd look at the context of this verse and learn a little bit about a shepherd. So let's take a look at verse 9. We're looking at serving people out of love so that they could get God's best, so that they could get deliverance. It says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture." You know, in Bible times, they had like enclosures, sheepfolds, and a lot of times it was rocks that were piled up, you know, and like a little corral, but it really wasn't a formal corral. And it had a little entrance there, and that's where the shepherd kept the sheep. And he says, "I am the door." Well, the shepherd at nighttime, he would lay down and he would go to sleep. He would go to sleep at the Holiday Inn. Really, he wouldn't. Actually, what he would do is he would sleep on the floor. He would sleep on the floor right where the door is. So if any wolves wanted to come in and have lamb chops or something like that, they had to cross over that shepherd. So that wolf couldn't get in there because that shepherd laid down his life for the best interest, for the well-being, for the protection, for the life of those sheep that were in there. You know, Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd laid down his life for our well-being, for our protection, so that we could have a life that's tremendous, eternal life, and a life that's more than abundant. So he is the door in this case, like the shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice. He laid down his life so that we could have the more abundant life, so we could have eternal life. Are we willing to lay our lives in service to help other people along these lines? In verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, seeing the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep, eating lamb for dinner that night. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. That hireling didn't do what was necessary because he didn't care enough to carry out. The good shepherd, or a shepherd that does these things, he's willing to go the extra mile. He's willing to lay down his life in service. He's willing to battle that old wolf or that old, you know, chipmunk, whatever it is. He's willing to do whatever so those sheep are protected. Pretty cool, huh? Very cool. All right. So that's a little bit about the shepherd. Let's take a look. That's not good. Let's take a look at a little bit about moved with compassion. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 1. This is a record that gets read quite often along these lines. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Everybody good?
Yes.
Happy? All right. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. If you ever ask the audience a question like that, you run the risk of somebody saying, hell no! That'll put a damper on the teaching. Okay. How about Mark 1, 35? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and he departed into a solitary place, and there what?
Prayed.
Looks like Jesus Christ had a morning watch of his own, right? Kind of cool. I don't think Eddie was there, though. Verse 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out devils. There's no more devils in the world because he cast them all out. That's a lie. That's not, don't write that down. Okay, there's a lot of them. Now, so you know, his ministry was word and works. He preached God's word and he cast out devils. Our ministry today is also word and works. We teach God's word. We have the word of reconciliation. We have the truth of the word, but we also operate power like some of the teachings you've heard. So it's the word and the power of God in operation. Twofold, word and works. And that brings to pass deliverance. People get deliverance from the word. People get deliverance from the operation of the manifestations. As Liz taught, people get deliverance from the love of God. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will, thou canst make me what?
Clean.
Did he have a need?
Yes.
Was this dude pretty bold? I mean, he had a need. He was after it. He was after it. He went right to the Lord Jesus Christ, kneeled down in front of him, and he said, "Hey, look, if you want, you can make me clean." Have you ever gone to a fellowship and you have some needs, and then we really want to get our needs met, and then we kind of chicken out to go somebody, you know, and go get? I've done that before. Maybe you have too. I don't know. But I've done it. If we really want to do something right and before God and whatever, or if you want healing or deliverance or something like that, who cares what anybody thinks? What really should matter is what God thinks, right? So if you have some stuff going on, you know, like Patrick said, if you got to get healed or whatever before this weekend's over, who cares what people think? Just go to somebody that you believe is the right person and talk to them about something. Or ask to get prayed for, ministered to. God is a God of deliverance. And here's this dude here. Was this guy probably winning a beauty contest, this leper? No. Leprosy, did he get a lot of hugs at the Christian fellowship in the Gospels? There weren't any Christian fellowships in the Gospels. Caught you. But you know, leprosy is very contagious. And you know, your limbs fall off and different stuff. And if you saw a leper, the lepers lived outside of the city. They lived outside of the city. And nobody hugged lepers. That was not what you did. And if a leper was walking down the street in Bible times, you'd walk on the other side of the street. Nobody wanted to be around these lepers. Verse 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion." Moved with what?
Compassion.
He said, "You ugly ass." No, he didn't. "Jesus, moved with compassion, and put forth his hand," and what? That's the Lord Jesus Christ touching that man. I wonder what that did for that man at that time. "Put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto them, I will, be thou what?
Clean."
So I don't know why Jesus Christ touched him, but it sure didn't seem like it hindered the situation, did it? Because after he touched him, man, he was healed. And I think most of us have been around for a while. You know, God can do something for you at a certain time to build our believing to do something else, right? So there was Jesus Christ, and you didn't touch lepers. He touched him, and then after that, man, that guy got delivered. And it was because he was moved by compassion. It wasn't because the guy had a lot of money, was really great looking, or whatever. He was a leper, and Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. He loved the unlovable, didn't he? He did, and he touched him. That must have blown the guy's mind. Here we're talking about love. If we're loving somebody, then we love them, and we want to see God's deliverance in their lives. We fight for them, and that's really cool. You know, sometimes we know that verse in the Old Testament about a word fitly spoken, right? There was an action that was beautifully delivered at the right time. So, you know, there it was, and the guy got healed after. What a wonderful thing in God's word. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 14. We're going to use scripture buildup here to look at a situation, an incident in God's word. And, you know, Jesus Christ wanted to take a break. He wanted to take a break. Have you ever been tired? Who's never been tired? Raise your hand. Put away lying. Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. You know, Jesus Christ wanted to take a break. I don't think he wanted to go to the Turks and Caicos or Aruba or some other places like we go sometimes or, But, you know, he needed to take a break. Let's take a look here at Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 12. Matthew 14 and in verse 12. "And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." This was John the Baptist, who was cold-blooded murdered. Jesus Christ, John the Baptist baptized him. John the Baptist was a man of God. John the Baptist was murdered. And these guys, then they went and they told Jesus Christ about the death of John the Baptist. And when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. This is not the Sahara Desert or the Mojave Desert. This is a place that's deserted. This is a place that wasn't inhabited. There wasn't a lot of peeps around. So that's what it was. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard of it, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So Jesus Christ gets in a boat. He's trying to get away from everybody and go, you know, and chill out for a while. And there's these dudes that are running on the shore, or they're trailing on the shore following where he's going. That's pretty cool, isn't it? They put forth an effort to be with the master, didn't it? That's a very cool thing. Like some of us came a long way to be here today. So on foot, they followed him out of the cities. Pretty cool. Now let's take a look at Mark chapter 6. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. And in verse 30. Mark 6. And in verse 30. This is scripture buildup. We're looking at different places on the same incident. Mark chapter 6. And in verse 30. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." They came back from being on an itinerary. They told him all the stuff that was going on. "Hey, we did this and we did that, and we taught this and we taught that." And they were reporting to Jesus Christ. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place," you know, there wasn't a lot of people around, "and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to what?"
Eat.
Just like here this weekend, there's no time to eat. So Jesus Christ had just heard of the death of John the Baptist, and these guys came back and they said what they were doing out there. There were so many people around and they just needed time to eat and time to rest. So what they did was they wanted to take a break. Verse 32, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities. And out went them and came together unto him." Hey, Jesus is going over there to this place, Bethsaida. That's where he was going. And then the people ran along the shore to go see him. And Jesus Christ wants a break. Have you ever wanted to take a break? But yeah. And we wanted to take a break. Oh, I got to get away. These fellas here need a break. We got to get something to eat. They need to chill out. And they take a boat to this other place on the Sea of Galilee, but he can't get away because the people see where he's going, and the rumor gets out, and people are running to try to get there, and they beat him there. Wow. Leave me alone. That's the end of the teaching. Let's take a break. Verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people, and he said, Please, give me a day or two here." No, "he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep having no shepherd, and he began to teach them" what?
Amen.
He wanted to take a break. That wasn't the plan, but he saw all those people there and he was moved with compassion. He wasn't pissed off at them. He was moved with compassion. And you know what he did? He taught them God's word. And when we teach God's word, there can be deliverance, right? Okay, there can be a lot of deliverance. All right, let's take a look back at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. John the Baptist. What was he famous for? Water baptism, right? Does anybody in the front row need to be water baptized here? Okay, just checking. All right, now, Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 14. This is the same incident. And Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he what?
Healed their sick.
He healed their sick. In the other one, he taught the word. In this one, he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. He wanted a break. He wanted to go away. He wanted to go away and take care of the fellas, and this stuff was going on. He took a ship. He went on a cruise or whatever. It wasn't all that far, but the people followed him along the shore. And then when he saw them all, he taught the word. He was moved with compassion. And then what also he did, he healed them. And this was time that he wanted a break, but he was moved with compassion. What a great record in God's word. What a great record in God's word. Look at 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place. There's no barbecue. There's no McDonald's. There's no Piggly Wiggly, whatever there is around here. This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send these folks away that they can go into the villages and buy themselves some victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not to depart. Give them something to eat." And they said unto him, "We have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I don't know if that was enough to feed Jesus and the people that he originally took there. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not to depart. Give them something to eat." And they said unto him, "We have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and disciples to the multitude. And guess what? This whole multitude, they ate and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Just think, like you guys, you married guys, say you're going on a little couple days off and you take your wife and you're taking a couple of the leaders with you and you're going off and you're going to eat some fish and get into the word, need a little break. And then 5,000 people are out there and they want to be fed. "Hey, honey, could you peel some potatoes? We got 5,000 people to feed." Now, nobody really had to do a whole lot. He just multiplied the fish. That was a miracle. Look at that. That is so deep. He didn't call the meeting. He didn't put out the flyers. He didn't do any of that. He wanted to go away, and the people followed him, and it was a multitude. But when you really look at it, it was 5,000 people. Stephanie, do the refreshments. Where's the children's fellowship? 5,000 people. But you know, he pushed himself to do it because he loved and he walked with God. And look at what God did in the situation. Let's take a look at a couple records of the Apostle Paul and then we'll wrap it up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're looking at doing things out of the love of God to serve people, to deliver people. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We saw the leper get delivered. We saw multitudes get taught the word. We saw Jesus Christ operate manifestations, and people got healed when he was tired. We saw the word being taught. Saw a lot of cool things. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, operating manifestations. 2 Corinthians 2. Does God want people delivered?
Yes.
Can God help us?
Yes.
Aren't we doing what he wants? So why can't God help us? Why can't God tell us when to do it? Why can't God, we're trying to do what he wants. Do we have his power? Is J.M. taught? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 2. In verse 4, a couple things about the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 2:4. All right, now. This is 2 Corinthians. What book came before 2 Corinthians?
First Corinthians.
Whoever said that right gets a free cookie after the thing. That's brilliant. Now, that's right. Now, have you ever read 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
That's like calming bedtime reading, isn't it? That's a good butt kicking right there, isn't it? Oh, it still hurts back here. All right, now, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. This is 1 Corinthians. Not that you should be grieved, not that you should be sad or, you know, that kind. I didn't really mean to make you sad or bum you out. I didn't write that thing to bum you out. Not that you should be grieved, but the reason I wrote 1 Corinthians is that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Why did he write 1 Corinthians? Because he loved them. And you know, if you love somebody, you're willing to take a chance and give them God's word, even if it means reproving them, because maybe they're not going to like you. Maybe they think you're a jerk. Maybe they think they're going to be bitter or whatever. But you know, if you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Maybe not in a bad way, but you tell them the truth. Why? So that because of love. And then they can straighten their life out and they can get the deliverance that they need. What a great record. Why did Paul write 1 Corinthians? So they could all get bummed out? No. So he loved them. He loved them enough. He loved them enough to tell them the truth so that they could change. All right? That's very cool. So that's a really great thing. So if all of you want to love me enough and reprove me after, just get in line, okay? It's okay. All right, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. Hey, did somebody reprove you up here maybe? Oh, I hate that guy. He did that to me. Maybe he did it because he loved you. That's a very cool thing. Let's take a look here at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Now, here we're going to see the deliverance first. We're going to look at Paul's manner of entering in. Paul went to Thessalonica there. It's in northern Greece. And look, let's see the deliverance that happened there first. In 1 Thessalonians, and remember, we're looking at loving somebody enough to help them get God's best or help them be delivered. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how that you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God. Is that deliverance? That's a lot of deliverance. Got rid of the idols there, these dead gods over there, and they turned and they served the true God. And that's not the only thing they did, but also, and that it says here, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which was delivered from the wrath to come. So what happened here in Thessalonica, Paul went there, and these people, they used to be idol worshipers, and they turned from idols, and they served the true God, and they were waiting for Jesus Christ to come. That's some deliverance. So how did this deliverance happen? And Thessalonians lays it out. How did it happen? You know, in verse 5, Paul went there, and they spoke the word to these believers. Just pay attention, okay? Paul went there and he spoke the word to the believers. And those believers he spoke the word to followed Paul. And in following Paul, they followed the Lord. That's kind of cool. Wow, I can follow Rick Sanders. And when I follow Rick Sanders, by following and accepting what he's teaching me, I'm going to learn to follow the Lord. That's pretty cool. Is that good, Rick? It's okay? Yeah, that's all right. I'm related to Rick, so I got to give him some props here. All right, now, but you know, after that, Then these dudes who were in Thessalonica, there was all these other people, and they started following those guys. And then pretty soon, the word of God spread. It sounded out all around the whole place because Paul was there. They followed Paul, and then they followed the Lord, and then all these other dudes followed, and the word of God just exploded in that area. How did they do it? They had a great TV advertising campaign. They had an Instagram account. They were following Paul on Instagram. We can work that in God's word. But there was a lot of stuff. But let's take a look at a very interesting thing here. Verse 7 of chapter 2. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. This is like a nursing mom. Paul was gentle among them. You know, love melts down walls, doesn't it? There was a minister that we had a long time ago, Donnie Fugit. He used to say, people don't care what you know until they know you care. You know, Paul was in there and he loved them. That's the great apostle Paul. He was there even as like a nursing mom. He loved those people in that place. Love melts down walls. Man, that must have been so wonderful. And there's a lot of the love of God here. But man, people got loved. Sometimes we think we're unlovable and somebody comes along and loves us at the right time. So how did all this happen? One big key here is that Paul loved them. And how much did he love them? Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. He wasn't just there to preach a sermon and people kiss his ring or whatever. Unto you, not the gospel of God only, but our own souls. Our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. Man, I'm going to give you everything I got. And the reason why was they were dear unto Paul. He wasn't there to use anybody, take advantage of anybody, rip somebody off. He laid it all on the line because he loved them. And look what happened there. It was an explosion of God's word. You could read it in the first chapter. It was electric. Why can't that happen today? We go back from this place tomorrow and we go to our neighborhoods and whatever. Man, it's love of God. It's power of God. It's word of God. That brings deliverance because we care. We want to make a difference in our life. Man, we only have one life to live and give. We might as well live it for God and his word. What else are we going to do? We read this stuff here. You want to make it happen? Then let's do it. Okay. How about this? How about in verse 11? So not only was he like a nursing mom there, but ye also know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So whatever he was doing there, he was tender like a mom and he was doing some other stuff like a daddy. So he could roll with the situation. He could roll. He was flexible. And the reason why in verse 12 he did all of that you would walk what?
Worthy.
That you would walk what?
Worthy.
I'm a little hard of hearing. Say it again.
Worthy.
One more time.
Worthy.
Isn't that cool? Why did he do it all? So he could rip these people off, take advantage, kiss the babies, do whatever. He wanted them to stand. He wanted them to walk worthy of God. What a man. And that took some effort. I'm willing to impart my own soul. So we saw Jesus Christ, how as the good shepherd, he laid his life down for the sheep so that wolf couldn't come. And he did all those things for those, that sheep or those people. The reason is so those sheep could have a great life. Jesus Christ laid down his life so we could have eternal life and have in the context a more abundant life here on earth. He laid it down. We can lay down our life in service. We could serve him and serve the bread of life to God's people. He did it because he loved. Here in the same situation, or, you know, Jesus Christ, he had moved with compassion on the leper. And that man, he loved the unlovable, and that man was delivered because Jesus Christ cared, and that man was delivered. We also saw that Jesus Christ wanted to take a break with the disciples, and he went away, and the people followed him. The people wanted to be around the Word in the flesh. They wanted to put themselves where the Word is, like we did today here or this weekend. And those people, they heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got teaching. They got deliverance. He healed them, right? And it looks like they got a free meal to boot, so that's pretty cool. And in this situation, Paul, he spoke the word. He didn't care, but he loved them, and he spoke the word to them. And also, Paul went in there, and he was willing to give his own soul. And this was one of the greatest outreaches of God's word in the first century. And you can read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But to close tonight, look at Matthew chapter 9. One more. Matthew 9. And in verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. This must have been exciting. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. He taught, he preached the gospel to the kingdom. And guess what he did? He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Can you imagine? That must have been just electric. There was the Lord Jesus Christ preaching and teaching, and he was healing all these different diseases and sickness. Man, I bet you the word of God and his ministry was really growing in a massive way. And interestingly enough, we have some proof here. Verse 36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what?
Compassion.
Again, he looked at them and he could feel it. And he was like, he saw the multitudes and he cared. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Or in the text, they were harassed. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no what?
Shepherd.
You know, some of us have been in the Word a long time, and we know that believers over the years have been harassed, and some of them have been scattered. Maybe some of us have been scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Believe people all over the place. And he saw this, and he looked at them, and he was moved with compassion. We can have that same compassion today to other people, unbelievers or other believers, people who need the love of God, need the power of God, need the operation of the manifestations so that they could get God's best again. Why should we do that? Here he said he was moved with compassion on all these people. Man, he saw what was going on. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were harassed and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no what?
Shepherd.
It's tough when the shepherds don't shepherd. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what?
Few.
God's word is moving here, you know. The harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of folks, but the laborers are few. Look what he said. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest was plenteous, but the laborers were few. He had compassion, and he prayed for more people to shepherd, to take care of, to speak, willing to serve to the end that God's people were delivered. Same with today. We could pray for more people who want to stand, who have the guts enough to say, I want to help folks, who can be moved with compassion. Maybe by the time we leave here, we can all leave here with that kind of heart and commitment and saying, man, I don't care. I got a life here. I can breathe. I want to help people with God's word. And let me tell you, we know God's word. He's given us the word. He's given us love. He's given us power. And we sure have a lot of stuff. And man, if we can be moved with compassion, or if we care enough and love enough and operate and walk with God, think of the deliverance that can be wrought in people's lives. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you for the privilege we have to know you and to know a little bit about your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, thank you.